This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
And do you find that there's a certain type of user, specifically age-wise, that gravitates towards online crowdfunding platforms? You know, we're in the era now where people are shifting their attention from old traditional ways of doing things to online and mobile. Real estate is one that's very diverse. Okay, here's the fire brigade going, so I'm gonna ask that question again. I don't know what's going on. I hope there aren't fires in this part of California. There's fires all over right now. Anyway, so do you find that crowdfunding and online real estate platforms are targeting a certain demographic age? Because historically, things were done a certain way. And we're living in the era now where people are shifting from traditional means to online and mobile. So are you seeing this more of a, are we at the early adopter phase? And is this just young people using it that are familiar with technology? Or is it across the board you're seeing usage, even from, you know, people that have been in this industry for decades?
Yeah, from my experience, probably the most savvy user is a young working professional. Maybe they're early into their career as a lawyer or a doctor. They're finally getting those student loans paid down, and now they have some extra cash. So that's probably a really cornerstone user profile. And outside of that, just middle-aged individuals. I've seen certainly older people adapt and invest through online crowdfunding, but probably the core is certainly that middle age, kind of in late 30s, 40s, in that realm is probably the most of our users.
Do you think this is a phenomena restricted just simply to transactions, or do you think this is a phenomena that applies to PropTech overall, where real estate, frankly, has been quite slow to adopt technology? It's outrageous because this is the world's largest asset class and it's so inefficient. Is this because we're still going through the shift to people embracing mobile and online, and the users really tend to be the younger professionals, as you outlined?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's adoption. And I think that when people are ingrained and go through life without knowing better, it's hard to change habits and to change the thought process behind how you handle your savings and how you invest for retirement. So I think certainly there's kind of a new age, new era that's very fresh, much more adaptable, and then it kind of blends into your more kind of traditional individual who just won't look at that alternative because it wasn't anything that their parents told them about or anything that their networks are doing.
Right, Jacob, even as a PropTech VC, I see a lot of startups come to me and bless, they're doing the right thing by talking to customers, but they're talking to the wrong type of customers. If you're trying to build a solution for an audience or a demographic profile that isn't adapting to technology, you're going to end up building an overcomplicated solution and you're going to find people aren't going to use it. It's one thing to ask, what are your problems? This is how product management should work. It's another thing though, to get the wrong audience. And I think there is an aspect here where you've got to be realistic with the startup you're working on and what the use case will be. PropTech is definitely at this critical point where, is this technology in any aspect, right? Different technologies are different stages. Is this going to go mass market, or is this just a cute early adopter technology that doesn't go further? And a lot of entrepreneurs make a mistake by trying to go straight for the mass market, trying to solve all the problems that the market has. Better to be really focused on just, you know, a very specific use case and do that really well.
Yeah, it's actually great you said that, because part of what I wanted to ask you about was addressing the market, because like you mentioned, real estate and even syndication, raising money for startups and raising money for real estate, it's very, very broad, huge market. And so that was one of my questions potentially for you, is to kind of ask how you address or how you approach, especially starting out the gate. But like you said, you gotta really hone in, right, on your specific use case.
Right. Go. Usually, this isn't always the way it works, but usually, go for a singular focus, a vertical specifically, and I mean really specific, such as we are targeting single family homes in this state, in this region. We're looking for an audience that currently does X, Y, and Z, rather than we're trying to change all of real estate. I get it. Great vision, but you have to start somewhere. Otherwise, you're going to just build too broad and you're going to become irrelevant for most people.
Yeah. Not enough to get those users who are diehard users, right?
And look, real estate is something where you can quite quickly start to expand. You can expand geographies, even countries. You can expand the asset class you're targeting to, right? You might jump from single family to multifamily to student housing to senior care homes to hotels, right? But own and nail that vertical and also nail the user you're going after, right? I'm curious to understand what your ideal user is. Because in the scheme of real estate investing, there's this big spectrum. On one end, you've got large private equity funds and you've got large institutions. And on the other hand, you've got mom and pop investors who are putting money into deals online and crowdfunding. And then you've got, you know, things in the middle. You can't try to just solve the entire problem. Focus on a specific user and you'll do well. So for you guys, who is the ideal consumer? Especially with net worth, because is there a net worth sort of level where this approach doesn't make sense?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think if we look traditionally and historically, real estate firms taking down multi-million dollar deals, and they still do by and large, they go and partner with a family office or an ultra high net worth individual. And if they need to raise 20 million, it may be one or two checks that do that. And from what I've done historically, to be transparent, the largest single raise I've done is 3 million. So I'm not raising 20, 30, 40 million at this point, but, I do have the infrastructure to do that if I wanted to. But my experience is more what you might refer to as, the mom and pop investor or more of a, maybe a retail investor. So, someone that certainly isn't an institution, not a family office, not ultra high net worth. Most are accredited, so they're earning at least a couple hundred thousand per year. They've got a net worth or they have a net worth of a million or more. So most are accredited, but they're investing anywhere between $20,000 and $100,000 per deal. Our average investment size over the last 700 investments placed with our company is right around 35,000. So we work with more of a retail investor.
Well, ideally, if someone's on Robinhood, then they probably are the similar type of user you're going after. And, you know, would you encourage that user base to diversify out of stocks and broaden your approach and put some money into real estate? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, certainly. I am a huge fan, obviously, of real estate. So my vast majority of my savings and net worth and earnings lie in real estate. And so I think that certainly those who are in a fortunate position to be managing a portfolio, managing their investments, I think that it definitely shouldn't all be in financial markets. There's a lot.
What's the split? How much do you think is a sensible split to put into real estate versus public equities and bonds, for example? By the way, just to start some context, right? The typical example is 50 bonds, 50 stocks. 50%, 50% is how people tend to think of it, or the 401k. If you're going to add real estate and you're attempting to try out a platform and invest in a few deals, where do you think the allocation target should be?
So I would say come in around 90% real estate. No. Probably a third or a quarter.
Yeah.
A third or a quarter.
A third or a quarter, that seems about right. And in an environment like today, you might want to think about rebalancing as well if you're concerned. You know, I'm very diversified, but I am concerned where the market is today, and we're being, you know, propped up by the Fed. So being invested in very stable cash flow generating real estate is something that helps you sleep at night, right? And also, it's tough because not all stocks produce dividends, and we're in an environment today where people are being criticized for, you know, paying out dividends. And so it's quite hard to swallow the fact that you're investing in a company purely for appreciation and it can go down in value, whereas real estate tends to appreciate long term. But also there's a very steady income stream, which makes it a fantastic place to diversify.
Yeah, and from a tax benefits perspective, I mean, it can't get much better. You know,
the tax code was written for real estate. It was written by real estate people.
Yeah. And I think the explanation is that we all need housing, so we need to make sure that people are taking care of their real estate, right? I'm not going to speak to, you know, how fair it might be, but it is a fact of the tax code. And so yeah, maybe my allocation as a real estate professional, maybe it's close to 80 to 85% real estate, but I think generally a third, I think that's probably achievable.
For sure. So you're also running some other projects too. Talk to me about those, especially Sleep Canvas.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about Sleep Canvas. I'd love to talk about Syndication Pro. Since we're on that real estate side of things, we've been talking about Holdfolio and how I've been raising money online, and I actually went from those friends and family investors to thousands of people registered and hundreds, almost 1,000 investors. And I did that all, I was enabled by my website, by technology, to be able to register investors, take investments, manage that process all online. And what I had, Zane, is I had colleagues asking me how to replicate what I had built. And as you know, building software is not an easy thing. It's a investment. It takes time, lots of time, takes resources. And I couldn't just tell my colleagues, oh, just go out and build a website and, you know, just start building these features.
No, and most people can't even build their own personal website, let alone a platform that's going to transact. And it's something you're going to trust, you know, people to rely on for deal analysis and performance and reporting. And I don't know if you do the transactions on there too, but that's another layer. Most real estate people are not tech people, and most tech people are not real estate people. It's a small Venn diagram, right? Like this, of people that understand both. So yeah, walk me through how you think about Syndication Pro, which is another platform you've built.
Yeah, so it came from those colleagues. After getting asked enough times, I started thinking, maybe there's a room here to kind of polish up what I've built and offer it as a service to my colleagues. If you want to buy in and get this infrastructure to raise money and manage your investors, then maybe this is a valid business model.
You are essentially white labeling a product you've built and you're allowing other people to use it. Would you agree with that terminology?
Yeah, exactly. And yep. So I pitched the owner of the development company who I've been working with for years, building out the website for my own use, and said, hey, I've got colleagues. I think this is what we can do. I think we can charge for it, most certainly. Let's build a beta. And so we struck a partnership, a 50-50 deal. He obviously has the web development company. He's more tech enabled. He's actually out of Bangalore. India was just a phenomenal place for that type of talent. And so so we built a beta. We got it into the hands of my colleagues and friends, and we confirmed that it was valid. Those colleagues were talking about it word of mouth to their network, and so we were getting some organic growth, just word of mouth. And so we doubled down, and we built the beta on WordPress. And then once it was validated, we went ahead and went to a JavaScript React and Node to build out the current version, or version 2. And so we built that up in the background, launched that, and we have really strong growth, a lot of organic word of mouth growth, and it's really rewarding, really exciting, really fun to be able to deliver a product that helps real estate firms get control of their business, save a ton of time, and have a foundation to scale. We're focused on that.
You're basically selling the shovels now, rather than trying to take all of this gold for yourself. And this probably affects, you know, the strategy overall. You don't seem to feel that your crowdfunding platform is going to own the entire industry. You probably come to this realization that this is a fragmented marketplace. Let me surf the wave, right? Let me allow other people to also mine this gold, because there's not going to be a single major platform. There's just too much choice out there. And so that was the genesis of Syndication Pro, where you realized, I built a platform to allow people to invest in my deals. Now let me offer this to other real estate developers. And that's smart. And I think, you know, when there's a fragmented industry, that's the way to go, to sell the shovels.